Morning, as many of you know, we are going to be dedicating some children to the Lord, and consequently we have a number of folks here who are not normally here. We welcome you as well. Glad you're here with us. Let's commit this time to the Lord, and I believe that God wants to do a number of things in our midst and to touch every person in some form this morning. So let's ask him to do that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent you and you obeyed. You came to earth and you are now at work in this earth. We can't see you. The wind blows wherever it wishes and we don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. We see the effects, but we don't see the wind. We don't see you, Holy Spirit. We see your effects all around us. We see people's lives changing, people being transformed more and more into the image of your Son, of the Son of the Father, of Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, thank you that you're present with us this morning. We pray that you move among us and touch each heart and each mind for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I decided to do something out of the ordinary, something I've never done. I decided to dispense with the PowerPoint this morning. And I know, well, I don't know if I know. I hope that having a PowerPoint helps you remember the points that I'm making. And I often have the verses up there and the points that I want to underscore are written for you there so that you can not only hear them, you can see them. Well, I chose a different tack this morning, and I decided to use, how many of you are card players? Any card players among us? You like to play cards? Raise your hand. I'm honestly not much of a card player. I'll play a game of cards, and it's fun, but then I forget the rules, and then some time goes by, and someone says, you want to play cards? And I think, I forget how to play it. I'm not a big card player. My dad actually grew up in a small town on the Muskingum River, a small coal mining town where most of the townspeople went to this one church. And one of the, I don't know if it was spoken or unspoken rules of the church was no card playing. No card playing, no dancing. Then he met my mom. He became, I guess, quite a good dancer. But anyway, beside the point, I'm going to use some cards. Oh, by the way, another thing interesting about cards is that I understand that at least some people associate it with things kind of seedy, kind of untoward or inappropriate, gambling and so on. As a matter of fact, there were accounts of during the Civil War how sometimes after a battle, after the debris of battle was being picked up and wounded men were being tended to and the dead were being carried off, there would often be playing cards strewn on the battlefield. And it's because the soldiers, if they were marching into battle and they knew their chances weren't very good of survival, they were getting rid of their playing cards. They did not want mom and dad to get a message back home that when their body was found, playing cards were found on their body. So I understand that there is a negative aspect. I'm not a gambler. As a matter of fact, I think gambling's a bad idea. But that's another message for another day. But I am going to use some playing cards to illustrate some points here this morning. And what I'm going to do is invite all the dads of the children who are being dedicated. Now, we want to honor all dads this morning. But in particular, I'm going to invite forward. So if you're a father of one of the children being dedicated, I'm going to invite you right now to come up and stand. I think we have 8 men, so 4 on either side of me. And I'm going to have some fun. At your expense. Yeah, no. Yeah, all the way up, 4 here and 4 here. And so I know this is painful. I know this is torturous. But like I say, it's going to be fun. Let's start out with a scripture. Whoop, thank you. I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. This is Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, Greece. He says, "But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." So the Apostle Paul compares the way he related to the Thessalonian Christians, the way a mom relates to her small child. Now, we know that women are different than men. I've noticed that, by the way. I have noticed that men and women are different. And like I say to Joan, vive la différence. So, yeah, sometimes it results in some misunderstanding or conflict, but I'm glad that she's different than I am. And one of the ways that it's shown the differences is in the way that they tend to relate to small children. So Paul was saying, "We were not unlike a nursing mother the way we tenderly cared about you Thessalonian Christians." He goes on to say, "For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God." Paul and his companions worked overtime. He doesn't mean doing kind of pastor work. He means doing grunt work, doing blue-collar, tent-making work so that they wouldn't have to ask the Thessalonian Christians to support them financially. So guys, I know sometimes you work a lot of hours and you think, gee, I could be home with my kids. Am I being a bad dad? Well, depends on what you're doing with that time. If you're doing a lot of fruitless time wasting, then yeah, it's not a good idea. But if you're working to bring home the bacon, that's a good thing. And don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid of that. That's a good thing. He goes on to say, "You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly, uprightly, and blamelessly we behave toward you believers, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children." So he's on both sides of the divide, isn't he? He talks about how he related to them the way a mom relates to a young child. He said, "We also were among you like a father who exhorted. Come on, son." He implored, "I implore you, do the right thing, make the right decision." What's the other word? Exhort, implore, encourage, yeah. So think of it this way. Little Johnny's kind of toddling around and he falls and he skins his knee. And the crocodile tears come, you know, and he runs and mommy scoops him up and washes off his knee and puts a Band-Aid on it and kind of hugs him and dries his tears. And I'm not saying dads don't do that. We're to be compassionate men. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, it says in Psalms. So yeah, we dads are to be compassionate. But generally speaking, the mom tends to be the one to scoop up little Junior. "Oh, I'm so sorry. You're hurt. And oh, it must really hurt bad." And they're there, you know, and comforting and caring. And dad tends to be more the one that says, "Johnny, I'm really sorry that you fell down. Now I'd like you to get back up and brush yourself off and go do what I told you to do." And Johnny needs both. You see, God's design is a mom and a dad. But our culture wants to say there's no real difference. All the differences are sociologically informed. And I'm saying, no, they're God-informed. God has designed women to be moms, not to be dads. He's designed men to be dads, not to be moms. So guys, I want to talk to you a little bit about your not just your responsibilities, but the opportunities that you have as dads. I don't claim to understand the dynamics. I would even go so far as to say that the mystery, at least I'll speak for myself, why is it that my relationship, my dad has been gone now for 18 years? He's been gone for quite some time. But still, there's this part deep down in me, this kind of connection still to my dad, thinking about the ways that my life benefited from his attributes and the way that my life suffered from his shortcomings. And there is no perfect dad, relax. You're going to fall short. I think that's by design, so that people who might tend to look to their dad for something will realize my dad is fallen. He's a sinner, but I know I have a Father in heaven who's perfect, and I want to learn how to go to him. So as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be doing something here toward the end of our time where there's going to be an element of formality to it, where I'm going to ask the parents, your wives are going to come up as well, and then there's going to be someone praying for you and your child. And I'm going to ask you for a commitment, to verbalize a commitment before God and these people. And I'm going to ask the congregation for a commitment as well, because they have a role to play, which I'll get into. But a couple of things I want to highlight as we start. One is that the value of this service only extends as far as the integrity of the people making the commitment. There's no inherent something magical. Oh, my kid went through this child dedication service, so he's fine. I'll kick back and just, you know, flip it in neutral. I'll just kind of coast through life because, after all, my child went through this dedication service. No, it doesn't work that way. The value of this service is tied directly to the integrity of the people making the vows, you and your wives and the people here. Second point I want us to understand is that the people making the commitments, again, the parents and then the rest of us, will not fulfill those commitments apart from the power of Christ and the outworking of the gospel in their lives. Guys, you don't have what it takes. Sorry to break it to you. You don't have what it takes to be the dad that God wants you to be. On your own, in your humanness, that is to say, you don't have what it takes. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the gospel, the promises of God, the people of God, you do have what it takes. But it's helpful to start out from the very beginning to realize, to admit, look, this is a bunch of fluffy talk about how I'm going to do this job or that with how I raise my kids. It's all going to be for naught apart from the power of Christ at work in you. It's very important to understand that. The first public message I ever gave, it was over on campus back in the 70s. I was a deacon in our church, and the leaders, there was a midweek service, and they said, why don't you share whatever you have on your heart? And the message I gave was on the fatherhood of God. So this idea of fatherhood is something that's very deep in me and very, very meaningful to me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to deal out some cards here. You're allowed to look at them. Don't show your cards yet. This is not a card trick, by the way. I'm not good at card tricks. Gabe. All right. Chris. And question for you. Okay, you can look at your cards. You know, the tendency for not just dads, for all of us, is to think, you know, I was dealt not a very good hand in my life. Owing to, you know, make the list. Well, you know, I wasn't born into very good economic circumstances. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I wasn't born with, I didn't have a lot of educational opportunities. I didn't, you know, just kind of read down the list. I wasn't dealt a very good hand. Guys, what kind of a hand do you have? Show your cards. They're each holding four aces. When it comes to fatherhood, why is this? I don't know. I'm not standing up here claiming to understand the why of it. I only know that it is. Why is it that in the economy of God, he allows you to have a standing in the eyes of your son or the eyes of your daughter, which is just mind-blowingly powerful. You have this opportunity by virtue of the fact that you're the dad to really do some wonderful things in the life of your son or daughter. Now, a hand can be misplayed, can it? But it's just helpful to know. So I want to do something that, rather than just seeing some words on a PowerPoint presentation, that you can take these cards home, and I don't know what you do with your important stuff. I throw it in my underwear drawer. It's like, because I see it. Embarrassing, but I do. Like the cards that I forget to give my wife, you know, she'll put my underwear away, and it's like, there's several Valentine's cards in here. You know. Anyway, put it somewhere where from time to time you'll go, oh yeah, I've been dealt a handful of aces. You all can identify, can't you? You're playing a card game, and again, I'm not a great card player, but I've played cards from time to time, and you're in the game, and the dealer, you know, deals them out, and you look at them, and you go, okay, I'm going to try not to crack a smile. But if the other people could see the hand I have right now, they would just give up, because I am loaded. I'm loaded. And you guys are loaded, and I want to take some time to explain what I mean by that. So again, you have this standing in the heart and mind of your son or your daughter that's just, I believe it's supernatural. I believe God puts it there. You automatically have hero status just by virtue of the fact that you're dad. Even without really doing anything, you're your son's, you're your daughter's hero. You automatically have a special place in their heart. And what will you do with that privilege, that opportunity that you have? Your child wants to know you. Mom tends to be with the kids all the time, and they're close. They're physically close. Paul said, as a nursing mother, I mean, from the get-go, Junior is right up there with mom, and there's this closeness, and there's this sense of knowing. Dad is more distant, and wow, I can just remember for the longest time just thinking, that's my dad, and I want to know him. God is a God of self-revelation. God has revealed himself. It's challenging for us men, especially, to know how to open up our lives. And a challenge for all dads is to know how to reveal himself to his son, to his daughter, in a way that really forges the kind of connection that you really want to have. Your son or daughter, they get so much delight, and you know this, out of just wanting to please you, make you smile, make you laugh. They just have that drive in them to want to please you. When I was thinking about this playing card idea, see, I know this is true because I found it on the internet. But what is the significance of the heart and the spade and the clubs and the diamond? Well, I don't know. I read this somewhere. Is it true? I don't know. Even if it's not true, we're going to tweak it a bit to kind of make this work for you guys in a way that hopefully will help you down the road. First of all, find your ace of hearts. Hold it up for everybody. Just everybody knows what ace of hearts look like. Find it and just show everybody the ace of hearts. Okay. Supposedly back in the medieval times, these four suits reflect, supposedly, the heart reflected the church, the spade reflected the military, clubs reflect agriculture, and diamonds reflect the merchant class. Okay, you don't need to remember that because we're going to kind of change that around, but again, in a way that hopefully will carry on and hold its meaning so you can just remember that. So, first of all, let's think of the heart. Let's think of the ace of hearts. One of the aces you have is the ace of hearts. Of course, when we think of a heart, we think of love. What's the greatest and foremost commandment? A lawyer came up to Jesus and asked him that question. Jesus' response, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then he hastened to say, and a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, women, again, generally speaking, they seem to have a greater capacity for self-revelation and to show tender love toward the child. And with us guys, sometimes, you know how it is. Sometimes we have a hard time getting in touch with our feelings, But this is the challenge for you. You have an opportunity to show your son, to show your daughter that real men love God and real men love other people and real men love God's people. You've no doubt heard that meekness is not weakness. Your son, your daughter, they don't have to be very old. They can figure out. They go, okay, Dad is stronger than Mom. Dad, you know, wow, I've seen him do things around the house, open jars of pickles, or, you know, Mom couldn't do it. You know, Dad is just, he's got some whatever strength that Mom doesn't have. And so often in the world, men, that strength doesn't get brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. And the result is that men tend to be more violent. Vastly, vastly, vastly. Most violent crimes are committed by men, not by women. So gentleness is strength under control. And your child will sit up and take notice when he sees that you, even though she knows you're a strong person, stronger than Mom, is operating with self-control and with gentleness. 1 Peter 1:22 says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Fervently love one another from the heart. Guys, you are to fervently love your wife. You're to fervently love your kids. You're to fervently love the brothers and sisters in the church. You're to be fervent in that. So often, men tend toward passivity. They tend, I don't want to get too excited about anything, and they just kind of, you know, bump on a log, whatever. Be fervent. Be fervent in your love. The scriptures encourage us. The last verse of the Old Testament, some of you know it, the very last verse of the Old Testament, this is from the book of Malachi. Listen, behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children. Notice that it first comes the fathers taking a step and their hearts being restored to their kids. He will restore the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. Our country is suffering under the smiting of the curse of God because of fathers, the walls and the divisions that exist between fathers and their children. So guys, take this to heart and realize that you have an opportunity. You have the Ace of Hearts. You have an opportunity to show your son, to show your daughter what true love is, and to not hold back in your fervency. Second of all, find the Ace of Spades. Hold that up for everybody to see. By the way, I know there are other dads who are here this morning whose children are not being dedicated. This all applies to you, and I wish I could have given each of you 4 aces, but I just only had 8. I only got 8 sets. By the way, I've been accused of playing without a full deck. So I have 8 decks at home that don't have any aces. If you want that, let me know. Anyway, so whatever I read said that the spade stood for the military. I don't know why that would be. Maybe the spade sort of resembles a shield. I don't know. But think of the concept, the fact that we're engaged in a great conflict. God has an enemy. You have an enemy. Actually, you have at least 3 enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if you're passive, that enemy is going to take an advantage of you and your wife and your children. So it's important for you to understand this militaristic concept. We don't war against flesh and blood. Our battle is not physical in nature. Our battle is spiritual. And I don't have time to get into Ephesians 6 and other passages that talk about the importance of engaging the enemy. You will do your child well to teach him or to teach her that we all have an... Oh, I don't want my child to be scared. Look, this is reality. It's so important to teach your child. Look, there's an enemy out there, the devil, is prowling about as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, we have security in Christ. I can get off sometimes and give a message, but you need to teach your son, teach your daughter, that in some ways his biggest enemy is himself. The flesh, our flesh. Cain, his offering was not accepted by God, and he got upset about that. And God said, Cain, look, Satan is crouching at the door, and it wants to devour you. You must master it. You've got to teach your son, teach your daughter how to master their own flesh. Of course, that happens through the power of Christ in the gospel. They don't have the power in themselves to do it. They need Christ, and you need to teach them that. So the military, the idea of that there's a conflict going on in the cosmos, and we're part of that. Find the Ace of Clubs. Clubs supposedly, again, this thing I read on the internet said that was somehow reflective of agriculture. So, I don't know, it looks like a clover, maybe like a three-leaf clover, and I think of plants and growing things, and Daniel's a farmer. He raises kids and sheep, and doing a great job at both. But think of the idea of cultivation. Cultivating crops, cultivating life, of growing and tending, caring for things so there's fertility and growth happens. We are to pay attention. You're to pay attention to your spiritual growth. That is something very important, and you're to give attention to the spiritual growth of your wife and of your children. God has given you, not just to the preachers and the pastors, he's given to the whole body of Christ precious and magnificent promises so that by them you will become actually more and more like God. 2 Peter 1 says that. And then Peter lists out character areas that we're to be focusing on in our growth. You'll be doing your child such a disservice if in your mind you think, well, that's the job of the church. I just bring my kids and drop them off in Sunday school. That's their role. No, guys, that's your role. You hold that ace of cultivating the idea of personal development, personal growth, not just developing your financial portfolio, not just developing your career, but developing your spiritual life and your character. And then lastly, find the Ace of Diamonds. Hold that up. Supposedly that somehow reflected the merchant class in medieval times. But let's kind of tweak that a little bit, and let's say it reminds us of industry, hard work, faithfulness, productivity, a proper understanding of money. You know, the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. It does not say that money is evil. And so, dads, teach your kids the value of a dollar and the importance of working hard, proper use of money. We might use the word stewardship. The Bible uses this concept of being a good steward of what we have. So there might be times when you look around, you might look at what someone else has or someone else's background and think, well, I kind of got short shrift. Look what he has. Look what he was born into. I wasn't dealt a very good hand. Go to your underwear drawer or wherever you have your aces. Pull them out and go, no, God has given me wonderful opportunity, a place of real power to impart to a human being, yeah, as a little kid now, but I, you know, when I pray for my grandkids, I envision, okay, my two-year-old someday is going to be 42. God, I think of him, I think of her as a 42-year-old. May that person be a person of faith and character and holiness and humility. These little kids that you're raising, it won't be long. I took my oldest daughter out for her birthday last night. She was born on Father's Day, by the way, 1977, so you can do the math. She's 44. She's going through a tough time now in life. I took her out to eat. We had a wonderful time. She's my little girl. And that little girl of yours, that little boy, is going to be a 44-year-old someday. So just a word. I'm kind of watching the clock here because at the given, I'll give you the signal. We need the moms to go back in the Sunday school area to get the babies that are being dedicated. We're not quite there yet. But I just want to give a word to those of you who've already raised children, and maybe now you have adult children, and perhaps you're feeling like, wow, I kind of missed the boat. I misplayed my hand. And so what's for me? What, you know, and I'm sad, and maybe your kids aren't walking with God today. Maybe they've scorned the Lord. Maybe they've scorned you. And there's pain. There's pain in that. I just want to speak to you for just a moment. Number one, realize God doesn't have grandchildren. That was an aha when I first heard someone encourage my wife and me about that. Hey, how do we relate to our adult kids? This older person said, God doesn't have grandchildren. God doesn't need you. He doesn't need your agency. He doesn't need you to be the intermediary and go represent God to your child. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, every place a prophet goes, he receives honor, except in his own hometown and among his own relatives, right? So perhaps your son or daughter, adult son or daughter, is in a place in life where they're just not going to hear it from you. Well, that's okay. God is still at work. The Holy Spirit is still at work. And so prayer is very important. I just want to encourage you. I don't have a TV, but I watch stuff online, and one place I like to go to get encouraged, there's a website called One for Israel, O-N-E, One for Israel. And it's these Jewish folks that actually live in Israel, and they're putting together these fabulous testimonies. And the thing of it is, there are these people who get on and they talk about their life before they met Christ, before they met the Messiah. And I just listen to these people, I think, I can imagine this person would have been a person. If I met them, I thought, they'll never come to Christ. They'll never get saved. They're hard-hearted. They're just tough as toenails. I mean, they're just, you know, they dig in their heels. But the Holy Spirit got in there and softened them and saved them. Isn't it difficult to believe God to save the people that you know really, really well? I pray regularly for my siblings, and some of whom know the Lord, some of whom I don't think they do. And I pray for my cousins, and I just have this long list of, and sometimes I shake my head and I say, oh God, I'm struggling to believe, but it just seems like they're so hardened. They just have dug in their heels and shook their fist at you. I'm having a hard time envisioning them ever coming to you. And then I watch something like One for Israel, and I go, wow, God does. He saves people. Don't give up. Don't give up on your son or daughter. Another thing to realize, you can ask their forgiveness. You can go to them and you can say, gee, I realize I did some things wrong as a dad. And I apologize and I ask you to forgive me. And then you can seek to be a godly uncle or aunt to people in our faith community here. I've referred to this before. Of course, Joan and I lived as foreign missionaries in Poland for 10 years. And the Polish church has this really neat idea. I don't know. It's just not American culture. You can't change a culture. But in Polish mentality, in a church, not only in a church setting, in a town, the kids will refer to men that they know well as wujek. Wujek means uncle. And so I would go to our church meeting, and these little kids would come up to me, Wujek Jacek, proszę pomagać mi, you know, would you please help me do this, you know, Uncle Jack. It was so, my heart just melted. It was just so endearing. And we tend to not have that. And I just want to encourage the men in our church to be uncles for the little kids you see running around here. And for the women to be aunts. Now, there's appropriate things. Of course, there's certain boundaries, and we need to be careful and not to be, you know, to cross certain lines in terms of touch and all, and we're aware of that, but seek to be that godly aunt or uncle. So let's do quick review here before we actually get into the dedication. So don't anybody out there help these guys. I'm going to see how. We're going to do a little review for you guys. Okay, find your Ace of Hearts. What does that remind you that you have an opportunity for what? Love? What?
To win our children's hearts.
Win our children's hearts? Very good.
Compassion.
Showing your emotion, being fervent. Very good. Okay. Excellent. Anyone else on this side?
Gentleness.
They're making you guys look bad. Come on.
What's that? Gentleness.
Gentleness. Very good.
Encouragement.
Encouragement. All right. Good. All right. Next one. What about the spades? What does that remind us of?
Protection.
Protection, winning the engaging in the battle, the military.
Conquering yourself.
Conquering yourself. Ooh, good, Tristan. I like that one.
Show,
yes, who the real enemy is. Oh, that's so good, Gabe. Yeah. All right. Then clubs. What does clubs remind us of?
Cultivating
growth, development in them, but also in you. They need to see you growing and aspiring to grow. Dad's not a finished product yet. He's still under construction, and he understands that. Wow, that's a powerful message, isn't it? And then lastly, diamond. What does diamond symbolize?
Stewardship.
We've
got to work for it.
We've got to
ask God for it and then put in the...
Amen. That Ulrich farm, you work up there. I've heard. That's right. And little Floyd, oh, he's a worker. I've heard about you, Floyd, how the good work you do with your dad. I've heard about you. This is great. Yeah. Anything else that you wanted to say that about any of them? Okay. Good. Well, whether you put it in your underwear drawer or wherever you're going to remember it, this was designed to help you remember the great standing that you de facto, you automatically have it. Don't misplay that hand. So let's invite the moms and the children to come up. And guys, I'm going to have you stand down on that very first step, the first one up from the floor. And then those who are praying over these families, please, you come forward as well and stand on the step behind them. Doesn't matter. We can start here. This end, that'd be fine. Very good. Okay. So again, if you're praying over, and remember, you're not just praying for the child, you're praying for the couple as well. Before we begin that praying, though, I have, what? We're missing somebody? Oh, they're still coming. All right. I never did? Oh, okay. That was my bad then, wasn't it? All right. Okay, I just want to point out that, of course, some faith traditions practice infant baptism. We don't do that at New Song. We believe that baptism, rather, is for people who are at least old enough to understand what it means to repent, what it means to believe in Christ, to trust Him, the fact that Jesus died on the cross for sins. And we don't prescribe a date. My oldest, who had her birthday yesterday, who's 44, we baptized her when she was 5. When she was 5, she, no question, she understood the gospel. Her next younger brother, my son Caleb, he didn't get baptized till he was 16. We wanted to make sure, and he wanted to make sure he really understood. So this is not something that provides for entrance into God's kingdom for these children. That's a decision they're going to make themselves in time. So we want to do 3 things here. We want to give the parents an opportunity to make a public statement before the community of believers, realizing, hey, this child ultimately is not ours. It belongs to God. This child is a stewardship. Number 2, give you all as a faith community an opportunity to say, hey, we understand they need our support. They need our encouragement. They need our prayers. They need our example. People, don't be that person. Kids have an extraordinary ability to sniff out hypocrisy. And how many people do you know that say, well, I went to this church and those people have a bunch of hypocrites. They would say this and say that, but I knew that blah, blah was happening. Don't be that person to whom any of these kids, when they grow up, can point the finger and say, ah, hypocrites here. Be a good example. So this is your opportunity to own your commitment as well. And then thirdly, to have some prayer over these couples. So let's begin. I know this is a little challenging because I'm behind you, but parents, I'm speaking to you. Even though you're not, your back is to me, you understand that I'm speaking to you. So parents, as God has blessed you with this child, will you acknowledge that this blessing is but a stewardship from him? Will you acknowledge that this child ultimately belongs to Jesus Christ and will experience the greatest blessing in walking with and serving him? Will you endeavor through the power of the Holy Spirit to raise this child in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, relying on him for the wisdom and strength to parent according to God's will? And lastly, will you endeavor to teach and train this child not according to the world's values, but according to God's eternal values, esteeming his word as essential for this? We will. Very good. That's the right answer. Very good. And so when I ask you all the following questions, that's the same correct answer, by the way. If, in fact, you're saying it honestly. I'm not trying to encourage people to say something they don't believe, by the way. People of God, fellow followers of Jesus Christ, members of New Song Community Church, will you, as God's people and as the specific Christian community in which each of these families is seeking to live out the will of God, endeavor by the power of the Holy Spirit to model true Christian love and Christian community? Will you endeavor to humble yourselves before one another so that each of these children not only learns the truths of Christ, but also sees the truth of Christ in your lives? Before God, will you acknowledge and accept this responsibility? Good. Okay, let's begin on my left with Jose. Why don't you go ahead and we'll just proceed right down the line passing the microphone. Go ahead. Let's pray.
Well, if you could bow our heads and pray with us. Our loving Father, we come before you on this special day presenting our granddaughter Esther Sue before you. Asking for your blessing, we pray that you guide us with your wisdom. Develop in her a love for you that would be unquenchable. And make your word come to her life, to life in her mind and heart.
Amen.
clothe her with your suit of armor so that she may be fully equipped for every good work. Protect her physically and spiritually, and teach her to always be ready to share your truth with boldness and courage. Give Tristan and Danny the wisdom to train Esther in the way that she should go. Help Teresa and I be in unity with them, with your Spirit's help, as we embark on this journey. We present Esther Sue today with the confidence that you will guide her with your undying love. And wisdom. And we ask that you help us manifest self-sacrificing love, especially in difficult times. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Lord, Christian and Jessica and the family were blessed with this little ball of joy that you created and was named Caroline. We're to dedicate the baby today and let you know that it will be raised in a Christian home, and you've known this baby before time began. And we want this baby to be fulfilled in you, in your learning, so that one day she can enter your house and enjoy eternity also. In your name we pray. Amen.
Lord, Lord, I think of Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. And Lord, we just thank you so much for the gift that you have given us of Orville Ulry. And thank you for blessing our family with him. And we just pray that he would grow up to be such a man, that he would love God with all his heart, that he would be a man of character, that he would be a man of service, and that he would be a man of leadership to serve those around him and make his family, his friends, his community, his world a better place. Lord, thank you for blessing us with him. I pray for his parents, that they will have patience, especially as they have to divide tension among many other little ones. And just, again, thank you for blessing us with him. We pray a blessing on him, Lord, that he would be an example and a model to all in his circle.
Lord, as you say in Psalms, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb of reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. Lord, we praise you for the blessings of our children. Today we rejoice over Elnor and dedicate her to you. I pray for Elnor and our families as we commit to raising her according to your will. Lord, guide Gabe and Rachel as they teach Elnor your ways, and help our families support them as she grows to know you. Please watch over Elnor as she learns about the gifts you have given her to serve you, to serve your will for her life. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we come before you today, the creator of all living things. The life you breathed into Adam all those generations ago animates these little ones we dedicate today. Thank you for the miracle of Noelle's birth. How you spared her life and her mother's. We're grateful for your deliverance in her time of need. Thank you for her smile that lights up the hearts of all those that meet her. May she delight in the paths of righteousness that you have prepared for her. May your grace and mercy follow her as she follows you all the days of her life. Guard her from the evil one and use her to do the same for others. Give her parents the strength, wisdom, and joy of raising godly children. Today we entrust Noelle Renee McGlone to your care in every way. In the name of the preeminent Christ who showed us the way to the Father's love. Amen.
Lord, I just want to thank you for all these families. Thank you so much for all of our children. Thank you, especially now, right now, for Tim and Grace and Cecilia, Ruth, and for the blessing she has been to us. And I just ask that you would watch over her, protect her, help her to grow, help her to come to know you at a very early age and just be a light to those around us, to draw people to you. I thank you for your faithfulness with all these children. We do entrust them to you. I just thank you so much. In Jesus' name. Before I pass this mic, I have to say one thing about my brother, Sam Hare, and the Iannies. I'm just so thankful for them. And the other day, I was out working in the field, and I had a tire that took a knee. It's hard to explain, but if you saw the picture, you would understand. And I was out there in the field, and I've had people, friends, get crushed by tractors, changing equipment, working on equipment in the field. And I had to take this tire off, and I wasn't sure how I was going to do it. And I looked up, and Sam Jr. was there. And I was so thankful. I was so thankful because I didn't know how I was going to do it. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother far away, and I have both, and I'm thankful.
Amen. And Lord, we want to thank you so much for little Sammy. Thank you, God, what a gift he is. And just as Hannah prayed to you in the Bible, I have asked for him from the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Our children are such a gift. Help us never to take that for granted. And we thank you, God, for Sam and Heather. They're the perfect parents for little Sammy. And thank you, God, so much for providing them for him and this community for all these children. Thank you for the parents and the grandparents that are here today that love you with all of their hearts. And we pray, God, we thank you so much that these children have such an opportunity. And I pray for little Sammy that he would follow you with all of his heart all the days of his life. Thank you again, Lord. It's just such a privilege to be here with all these parents and these children that you have blessed us with. And help us, Lord, never to take that for granted. Amen.
Dear Father, we thank you for Abigail. She is your wonderful blessing, precious to us and to you. Please bless her parents, Lord, Jessica and Isaac. Fill them with your wisdom. Give them your grace as they guide and direct Abigail to become a woman of God who brings honor and glory to you, Lord. Please bless this congregation too, Lord, as we have endeavored to do the same. Father, we pray today that you bless Abby with a long and happy life, a life filled with your grace, love, and truth. Surround her with family and friends that love you and care for her all the days of her life. We entreat you, Lord, to bless Abby with ambition, adventure, soul, and a spirit that nurtures lifelong curiosity and perseverance. Give her inner strength, an honorable and generous character with godly courage and a deep love for you, Lord. Father, we ask this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's give him a hand. All right. Okay, you're dismissed. Have a seat. Thank you again. Thank you, especially also those of you who led us in prayer. Appreciate that very much. Please also don't forget, moms and dads, we have a certificate. Before you leave the building, make sure to see me. We have a certificate for you. Okay, at this time, I'm going to give way to Ashley. Go ahead.
We love all these little ones and their families. It's so great to see what God is doing here, answering prayers. And related to that, I would like to thank Mike Spurlock, who has led the project to install the new playground. I'd like to thank, yes, give him a round of applause. Yep. And all those who contributed to putting it together, and to Todd Park for purchasing the play set, and all, thank you to all those that had a part in that. And so we encourage you to enjoy the playground. Just make sure there's an adult somewhere there at all times. Make sure there's some safety there. And Mike, do we still need help pulling down the old one to dispose of it? Okay, at some point, Mike's going to need some help to take down the old wooden playset, so see him if you can help with that. So I do want to give a quick update on our Lift Up Our Eyes campaign that we want to raise money to refurbish our facility, as we know that God is growing our church. We want it to be good for years to come. So last Sunday, many of you handed in an anonymous a pledge card just to say how much you're believing God to provide through you to help contribute towards that amount. That was $19,155 that was pledged for that. So thank you. Yes, thank you. And when we add that to the $31,000 that was already pledged by the board, that brings us to $50,155 has been pledged so far. Our goal is $107,000. So what we'll do is, as the money comes in, we will purchase what we can in a prioritized order of needs for the church. The first thing is going to be the sign we spoke about. We should see a new sign here, hopefully in the next 3 to 4 weeks, to be installed. So we're looking forward to that. And there's a list of other things: chairs, bathrooms, carpets, parking lot work. So we just want to pray together that God will provide for those things, as he has done so many times in the past. And so if you're a visitor here with us today, you don't need to feel any obligation to put anything in the basket as it goes by. But if you want to, you're welcome to do that. And so if those of you who maybe didn't get a chance to fill out one of those green cards, there's still some in the back there, and you can do that today if you'd like. So with that, if our ushers would go ahead and bring the baskets, and we'll pass the offering. And as we do that, Tristan and Josh, dynamic duo, come on up and wrap up their parts of the service here.
Forgot. So, real quick and easy today. First, don't forget to send in your prayer request to the church email, prayer@newsong.family. If you want them in for the week following, make sure you get it in before noon the Sunday you're on for the week following. But you can send it in anytime throughout the week, and it'll go on to the prayer chain. Lastly, there'll be a church picnic next Sunday, June 27th, following the service. The church will provide meats. We need some volunteers to run the grill, and please bring a side and or dessert to share. With that, I'll turn it to my brother for prayer.
I volunteered for the grill, but I've never actually grilled before. So if you do know how to grill, please volunteer. I've been going to this church since I was about 6 years old, and it's been a really long time since I've seen any number of young children as much as we've seen up here today. So just want to say a blessing for that. Dear God, we thank you for the children that you've blessed us with. We thank you for these parents who have dedicated themselves and dedicated their efforts to raising their children in the way that you see fit. Father, we also want to lift up the dads today, those who were here, those who can't be here. You know, dads are instrumental, and even more so those who have raised or are raising their kids in your ways and in your name. And we thank you for those people today, and we pray that you would go with these parents of these kids and give them strength, give them courage, give them patience, and that you would not just do that today, but that you would do that throughout their entire lives. And in Christ's name we pray, amen.
You're dismissed. Happy Father's Day.